It's fall, and that means it's time to burn stuff. A pile of leaves on a crisp Sunday morning, pictures of old boyfriends. Anywho, if you're like me and you love to craft, but also like to play with fire, but in a safe indoor way, now you can. Scorch Marker lets you nurture your inner pyro and do something constructive with it. Like, maybe you want to set up a website and sell hand-scorched cottage signs that say, "Beware of sea monsters." Or maybe you love cats and you want to create a custom plaque with a picture of Carlos the catatonic cat on it for your Aunt Janice to hang in her bathroom. You can do that. With Scorch Marker, you can turn arson into artistic. Start scorching today by going to www.scorchmarker.com. If you can draw it, you can burn it. Welcome back, everyone, to Wake Up with Jenny and Friends. I hope you had a fabulous weekend and your week is off to a great start. Thanks again for joining me this week. We are in a new day on Tuesday, so thank you again for joining me. I am super excited to have my next guest on with me, my dear friend, Anel. Hi, Anel. How are you?
Hello. How are you?
I am fabulous. And you are looking very fabulous today, sir, in your costume. If you're just listening to this podcast, I encourage you after you listen to it to go and watch it on Spotify, because Anel is dressed in the Joker costume.
Riddler.
Oh, the Riddler. Sorry. Oh my gosh.
That's okay. No,
cut, that's okay. 17. Take 12.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine by me. It's whatever you want to do.
It's the Riddler, and it's that jacket is fabulous.
Oh well, thanks. It's a whole suit, and I actually got it way before I started doing cosplay. It was weird.
Wow. So I am really excited about today, because we are going to venture into a little bit of comics, of Comic-Con, of memorabilia, of cosplay, a whole bunch of stuff. And we have a number of viewers and listeners who are super, super into Star Wars, which I know you are super into. And as your friend, you have forgiven me on many occasions that I have not yet seen Star Wars, so we'll talk about that later.
We each have our faults. What can you do?
Flawed and faulted. That's my middle name. Flawed and faulted.
No, that's okay. It's another chance for me to experience the wonder of that lore through somebody else's eyes. So yes.
Yes, very true. And I would venture to guess that when I do watch it for the first time, because apparently it's this whole series, there's multiple movies, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
When I do watch the first one for the first time, I can imagine that I will be messaging you, "Oh my gosh, this is what's happened. Oh my gosh, did you know that? Oh my gosh, did you?" I can imagine.
It'll captivate you or it won't, but even then, the basic ones pretty much are the gateway to this craziness of Star Wars mania.
Yeah, what I'm finding too as I get younger, things that didn't appeal to me before are appealing to me now. A lot of the series that I'm watching, a lot of movies that didn't appeal to me before, I'm actually finding really interesting. So I'm interested to see how I like this going forward. So why don't you take us back? So I'd love to, because you are very much into cosplay and collectibles, memorabilia. Why don't you, if you can, if you will, if you're willing, why don't you take us back to kind of the beginning of where your love for all things comics and memorabilia and Star Wars started? What was the story? I want to hear your story.
Well, it's funny because as I become somewhat of a small presence that I never thought I would, people have asked me, what's my favorite movie? and they all assume that it's going to be Star Wars, and it isn't. My favorite movie was Wizard of Oz, and there's a reason for it.
Oh, really?
There's a reason for it. I grew up in the Bronx in the 70s, probably one of the most difficult places to be a kid back in the 70s. And my escape was TV. That's all we had. And every so often, they would give Wizard of Oz on the television.
Mm-hmm.
And I would escape my surroundings. And that taught me that these moving images with their sounds, their music, would take me away from where I was, you know, from my surroundings.
Yeah.
And it made me realize that it's a powerful thing. And that's how it affected me. Fast forward, you know, into my teenage, I was 10 years old, and I'm begging my grandmother to go see this ridiculous movie. And I kept seeing it in the newspaper every day, you know? And back then you didn't have everything we have. So it was basically the newspapers that you would see all the ads and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And she finally relented and said, okay, we're going to go, you know, short Puerto Rican grandma, you know, and not knowing much English, but she took me anyway. From that moment on, when I saw the first ship fly across the screen, that was it. That was it. So then that was my attachment to the stories, right?
Yeah.
But then, you know, of course, with that came the licensing, and you would watch TV and you would see the kids playing with the Star Wars toys and all that. Unfortunately, we did not have the means. My grandma did not have the means to get me those toys or to get me as much as she wanted to. They didn't have the means for that. So as I became older and an adult, I realized that I started wanting to grasp at some of that to maybe regain some of my wishes when I was a child.
Right.
So along with that, of course, was not only Star Wars, but we had Batman and Robin. So this is why I gravitate to both cosplays.
And did you watch the original show on TV with Adam West?
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Without a miss, I would, you know, same bat channel, same bat station, you know, same bat time.
And Eartha Kitt.
Yes. Yeah. And you know, we would play and in 1978, when Superman the movie came out, my mom took me to go see it. And needless to say, 2 days later, at the time we lived in a third floor apartment building, my grandma caught me with a towel around my neck, and my cousin was edging me on to jump out of a third floor window.
No.
Because, yeah.
Oh.
We don't, so
you I've didn't always, drink a Red Bull, did you?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. So I've always had that affinity to want to escape. Mm-hmm. And I always knew that going into, you know, in my scholastic career, I wanted to follow up with movie production. And I started writing things and, you know, but unfortunately, life happens. My first child was born. Life has to happen. And all of that kind of took a back burner. And I didn't really focus on the stardom much, Star Wars or anything. They were I kind of lost. There was a detachment there.
Mm-hmm.
And then I slowly but surely, I just... little flashes of memory, I would see something, oh, I want to get it. I was able to get certain things. And I
had that adult money now.
Exactly. So, yeah. So, you know, slowly but surely, but I really didn't get into it. I really, really didn't get any more into it. I didn't read any of the books or anything until about maybe 10 years ago. So later, much later in my life, did I really get really into it. I didn't even know what the references were to canon and legend. Okay. I didn't know what they were. I didn't know what were certain terminologies in Star Wars. I didn't know any of them. And then I just started watching them, and I rekindled my love for it so much so I started reading the books. And as you know, so much so that I actually started writing a book. Mm-hmm. It's only been in the last 10 years. And if anything, in the last 2 years where it's exploded, where I'm actually creating these characters. And that's basically due to, you know, my philosophy. You know me, we've had conversations, and I always told you, you would probably not like the person I was 10 years ago. We would have met in the street and I would have kept walking straight by. You would have said hello and then see me just walking, because I was always so negative, always with my head down. And all I cared about was me, my family, and that's it.
And it's so hard. It's so hard for me to imagine you that way. Just because I know you so well, and you are probably one of the nicest, kindest, most thoughtful, genuine, loving persons I know.
To a fault, but I would rather have that fault than the lather.
I hear you.
But think of it this way. Think about a person that that faces death and they survive. They look at things in a different perspective, and they actually appreciate this perspective more than they did their prior perspective.
Mm.
And in my life, I was always so angry, so sad. Everything was everybody else's fault.
Mm-hmm.
That now I realize, even yesterday, I was walking. I didn't want to go anywhere far. I had to get a few things. I went to the mall. Yes, they still have a mall here. I'm walking, and you realize I'm walking down, and what used to perturb me before, it's actually making me smile. I see children and I smile. I'm walking down the street. I look at somebody and I smile. That wasn't me. That was not me. So all of this came about.
And you had an incredible weight loss journey in that time too. Do you think that contributed to your...
Absolutely. When people ask me, you know, what changed your life? I said, me losing my weight. It made
me a considerable amount too.
Yes. It made me realize that, you know, you always used to hear, think positive. You can do it. You got this. And I was always the cynical. I wrote an article in one of your magazines.
Yes.
And that was me. And when you start living it, when you start thinking the positive things, and you realize that there's more positive in our lives than you really realize, regardless of what you're going through. The fact that you can wake up in the morning, regardless of whether you have a roof over your head or not, unfortunately, you're still waking up. Mm. You know, you may not want to wake up. That's a whole other issue. But you're still waking up. You still have that chance to see that beauty, that epiphany that life has to give you. Mm-hmm. And that's what I strive for. And I almost lost that. I almost lost that a couple of weeks ago. But once again, positive breeds positivity.
Absolutely. And you have an incredible following of people behind you. You're quite active and quite well known on TikTok and in that community, in the cosplay community as well. And you have a lot of, it brings me such joy as someone who knows you as a friend, to see so many people back you and support you, and to send you such, it's going to make me tear up now, to send you such kind messages of support, because you are so genuine, and you have a series called Have Joy, and you do these videos where they're not quotes, but they're like motivational video. How would you describe them? I want to say it correctly.
Yeah, I do base there's a lot of Rumi behind it. Some of them are mine that I've thought throughout, you know, before social media. I would write quotes down. I was a big metaphysics minor in college, and I loved philosophy and all that.
Quantum physics too. Yeah.
Yeah, so
Yeah, I'm fascinated by
it
that.
just, as I forgot all of that. So when I realized what power a smile has, it's just been incredible. The other thing that changed to me was, which is probably the most incredible metamorphosis in my life, is getting in front of a camera.
Yes.
I
Yeah.
always
You love,
would
you
never
talk
take
about
any
that.
pictures. I was always the videographer or the photographer, never with a smile because I was always cautious about my teeth. I was always cautious about me. I always thought I was not a very pretty person, or handsome person. I always I was looking at self at myself superficially, and I realized that that's not the way to look at something. And and it's just one of those things where every person's imperfections together is what makes them perfect, and it's just so that gave me the courage to start getting in front of a camera, making TikToks. I started by talking about my lore, my collectibles, and then one day, I got the nerve to put on some makeup. And I will never forget, to the very last second when I hit that go live or that red button, I was scared. All I was thinking about was, what are these people going to think about a 53-year-old running around in makeup, acting like a total idiot? And I'll never forget that first live that everybody saw my Joker.
Saw
It
your
was
what?
incredible
Sorry,
that everyone saw my Joker.
I'm joking. Yeah,
Yeah,
it's a comedy show,
everyone
right?
saw. Yeah, I exposed myself with my Joker. Yeah, but oh boy, and it was, yes, of course you have your trolls and everything, but that was the epiphany of that particular moment. It wasn't bothering me. It was actually fueling the character. It was amazing because I would actually see the trolls, if you will, and trolling me, and I would come back. I didn't know I had this in me. I didn't know I had this character in me, and I would come back like that, and they would actually end up following me. Some of them are still following me to this day.
And because you handle it so well,
Yeah, and that's just it. I learned that, listen, this is
you
me, this
embraced
is who
it.
I am, and so that really, really just opened me up to all of this. So much so that we retired the Joker, and to this day I'm getting DMs with them wanting the Joker back. So it's just kind of funny how things are. So
And why did you stop doing that character?
a couple of reasons. It number one, it's if for starters, it takes had you had if I would have not had anything to do today, I probably would have brought Mr. Joker out. But he takes about, I'm very meticulous with him. So he takes about 3 hours
It's a
of makeup.
process. It's a
Yes.
process.
And also the makeup itself, it does something to my, so it's not bad. It just irritates it. I use Meron, which is probably one of the best cosplay makeups out there. You can even, ingest it. It's not, it's, it, you
Oh,
know,
wow.
some, yeah, sometimes, I'll have makeup on and I have to drink something. I'll drink something. Yeah. So it's non-toxic. It's very safe. But it
And is
just,
that makeup you're wearing on your eyes right now, or is that a
yes,
mask?
it's
That's
Meron.
makeup.
Yeah, that's makeup.
Wow, it's so precise. Oh my gosh, it's incredible. If you're just listening, you have to watch this show on Spotify because it is come a little bit closer too. I do that again, that close up. That is you have done it like a shadow on there. I literally thought that was a mask that you were wearing. It's That's phenomenal. Holy shit. That's a great
Well,
job.
that's that when I first came up with this character, I actually brought him out and I had a black mask and then I put white, I wanted to be the cartoon
Yeah.
Riddler, and so I wanted to have white over my eyes, but I couldn't see anything.
Right.
So then I said, I want to do something, but I just don't want to wear a mask. I want it my eyes to be the mask, and this is what we came up with.
It's
And
incredible.
then these masks were actually sent to me by Mad Masks. It's a couple. They're growing now. They're actually getting pretty big, and
Yeah.
they make leather. These are leather masks, and they're awesome, and they fit incredible.
So that is a mask, but
It
then you
is a
put
mask.
paint over. Oh, okay, but then you put
Yeah,
paint on. Okay, 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 okay.
I put my makeup on, and then I put the mask on,
Okay.
and then that's why you get the whole illusion that it's,
Yes.
yeah.
It's
So.
fabulous. Yeah. And when you say meticulous, that's the correct term because you have the whole look down from the hat to the vest to the tie to like that jacket is like I would wear that jacket with jeans and heels and I would feel fucking fabulous.
And it would be cool, yeah. It's a whole ensemble. And then I just change it up, and which brings me to the other thing. A lot of people ask me, "What do I need to do to cosplay? I don't have a lot of money." You don't need to. You can put anything together,
Yeah.
just anything, and just make it your own. Cosplay is not, it's not about being the character. It's about making a comic book character your own. For instance, one of the most popular observances by trolls when I do the Joker is, well, the Joker has hair. I says, yeah, but this is my Joker, and
Right.
but that's what it is. It's cosplay. It's about making a character that you love, or that you can that you identify with and make it your own. And what really did it for me was TikTok. But I went to my very first Comic-Con back maybe right a little bit before COVID. So I want to say my first Comic-Con was 2018. And I went with my nephew, and I saw people of different ages, from old to young.
And for anybody who doesn't know what Comic-Con is, can you just
Absolutely.
explain?
Comic-Con is a convention of nerds, and nerds is no longer a bad word. It's
Okay.
actually a privilege.
It's
But
also a candy.
it's also a candy. That's right. Yep. But it's a place where you can find vintage toys, memorabilia from movies, horror movies, all the way through comic book. Lately, the latest wave is the anime. That's taking a big wave. That I'm not into too much, but I love the characters.
Yeah. So
So that.
it's a yearly convention of
It's a
like
yearly convention, which the biggest one is going to be, well, actually, I'm sorry. The biggest one is usually San Diego. To
Okay.
go to that Comic-Con in San Diego, I would probably have to sign up years, about, I think it's like 2 years, to be able to go to it.
Okay, will
To be
Carmen
a
be there?
vendor, yeah, that's the biggest one. The next biggest one is the New York Comic-Con, which, unfortunately, I'll be there. I'll be there a couple of weeks too late for this one, but that's the next biggest one, and that one's awesome too.
Nice.
But it's just a collection of different people from all ethnicities, from all age groups, and no politics, no nothing. It's just everybody just being in awe, and then you have amazing people with talent. I don't consider myself a true cosplayer, because I don't have that talent of making my own stuff.
So there's different levels of cosplay and
Oh,
like,
absolutely. You have, I mean,
yeah.
you have cosplayers that are actually making Iron Man suits that actually work. I
Oh
mean,
my
I
gosh,
mean,
that's
just
crazy.
incredible. It's incredible. It really is.
Okay, so let me ask you this because so I want to go back to the convention, your first convention, but since we just touched on cosplay, where did cosplay all, where did that start from? Like, and when we say cosplay, it's like comedic play, like costume play, right?
Costume play, right.
Like for generally for adults, but kids do it too, right? But
well, yeah. Oh, yeah. A lot of you got to remember, all of these young kids have grown up, so they've instilled that on their in their children. So yeah, so it's become a culture because now it's multi-generational.
And it's kind of
So
like an ongoing sort of Halloween dress up, but with
correct.
like a whole community behind it. Is
Correct.
that fair to say? Yeah. Okay.
It's perfect. It's like Halloween year round
Yeah.
for cosplay is Halloween year round. Whenever you want to dress up, you dress up.
How long
That's
is
a
that?
perfect.
How long has cosplay been around for? Like,
I want to say that cosplay started actually, if now the don't hold me to it, but it started back with Star Trek.
Okay.
Remember, I don't know if you remember the word Trekkies, right?
Yeah.
They weren't called cosplayers back then. They were called Trekkies. That was the very first kind of science fiction kind of entity that became very popular. And then you had people that would really want to become these characters. So then they started these Trekkie conventions, and then you would have that. Then, of course, in 77, when Star Wars came about, that's when you kind of had a different type of Trekkie. But then obviously they weren't Trekkies because it wasn't Star Trek, and that's where they started to cosplay. A lot of people started dressing like Princess Leia, that
Oh,
type of
right.
thing. But it really didn't take off until maybe early 2000s. I didn't know, I knew that the community was out there. I knew that it was growing. The more and more we got digital, the more people had access to different people from around the world, and it just became something collective.
And was that when the first Comic-Con was in the 2000, 2001, around
Oh
there?
no! I'm sure. I they used to have Trek conventions and Star Trek, Star Wars conventions. They did not call it,
But they
if I
didn't call it
know,
Comic-Con.
they didn't call it Comic-Con until about, I want to say maybe late 90s. That's when they started calling it Comic-Cons, because what was happening is the comic book industry was losing. They didn't know where they were going. There were, video games started to come about. Children were lo they were losing interest in comic books, and so you had all these younger kids that have now grown up, and now they have careers, and now you have people like Todd McFarlane, who started. He was a Marvel drawer that started drawing Spider-Man and people like that, and then they started realizing that they needed exposure, so they started to show up at these comic cons. And it just kept going there, and then it kind of quelled off a little bit, because we really didn't have any superhero movies or any superhero TV shows on TV. For whatever reason, the creativity wasn't there enough. Maybe the technology wasn't there enough. So Hollywood wasn't investing in anything. Marvel was actually, I remember a story where that Marvel was that they were trying to sell Marvel for like $1 million back then. That's
No
like,
way.
I could be wrong with the
It's such an
number, but
empire.
just to give you an idea of how bad that industry was getting. And then, come 1989, and Tim Burton's Batman movie comes out, and that kind of reignited. It reignited for me, for sure. And then you had that upstart, and then that was no looking back from there. And then but the
Just a little
Comic-Con,
segue. Who do you think was the best Batman of all time?
well, for me, it was Adam West, because that's who I
The
grew up.
original.
Right. And it was campy. I look at it now, of course, it was campy, it's cheesy.
Yeah.
My best movie Batman would obviously be Michael Keaton, because he
Oh,
was the first
yes.
on-screen one. And in fact, I was very excited because, and it's already filmed. He was going to be make he was coming he filmed the Batman again.
And they didn't want him. Did you know that? In when they were casting for Batman, they didn't
the original
want him.
One. Yeah, no. They had like Tom Selleck. They wanted bigger names.
Yeah, they wanted a bigger name, a bigger guy, and the director was just like, "Look in this guy. This guy will fucking kill you. Look in his eyes. This guy is gonna take you out. Like, we're going with him."
Yeah. That, well, I know Tim Burton wanted a little bit of some type of, you know, he wanted somebody that could come back, have a quick comeback.
Yeah.
And if you watch the original Batman and the 89 Batman, you kind of get that.
Yeah.
You kind of, you know, and then of course, you know, too much of a good thing is a bad thing. And of course the sequels came about and they just got worse and worse.
Yeah.
You know, the only thing good about them is that we got different Batmobiles, right?
Right.
But that also brings me back to this. You know, it's funny because when I was younger, of course, I always gravitated to Batman, Robin. Heck, I even gravitated to Alfred because they were good.
Who
right?
doesn't love Alfred?
Ugh, right. So, you know, as I've gotten older, and it also translates into my Star Wars fandom, that's one of the reasons why I gravitated to the Joker, because I like the complexity of the Joker.
Mm, you know, right.
At one point he was a child. He was good, right? He, at one point or another, he was good.
Mm.
And something traumatic happened to his life, so he turned that way. Mm-hmm. Well, the same thing happened to Batman. He just happened to turn this way. Mm. So, you know, so I love that complexity there. And you know, that's one of the reasons why I like to play the character. He has more of a freedom. He can be and do whatever he wants. Batman has too many restrictions.
Right.
If you think about it, he holds himself back. Joker doesn't. So who doesn't want to be free, right? So that's one of the reasons why.
Isn't that somewhat reflective of how we live, how we are in society, how we live? It kind of feels like good people always kind of get the shaft and you know, the quote unquote bad people have, you know, get to do whatever they want and get away with it. And so it's kind of a little bit, dare I say, symbolic of, you know,
of real life.
People's experiences. There
are people in real life that in the outside are good, but if you really delve into their dealings and what they do, they're not the best person out there. And in Batman lore, there are certain books where Batman isn't that far from, you know, from the Joker's mania. So, you know, in fact, one of them, you almost root for Joker because the Joker actually kind of puts Batman straight, because there's a common threat that threatens both of them, you know? So it's just amazing. And right now, even talking about it, I get chills because it just brings my childhood back.
Yeah.
You know, to have that wonder of all of these characters. And if the thing with me with Star Wars is that, you know, growing up, and hopefully when you start seeing Star Wars, you're gonna hear the word Jedi and the word, you know, and I'm trying to remember if you do hear the word Sith in the first movie, but the distinction between good and bad is you have Jedi and you have the Sith, right? So as I've gotten older and as I've gotten deeper into the lore of Star Wars, you realize that they're not very far from each other.
Mm.
Both of them have their extremes. And one of the biggest examples of that was when I read Darth Bane. Darth Bane was a very powerful young man, was a very good man. He was working. And then he saw that these Jedi were coming to his planet and just ripped children away from their families because they were after Force-sensitive children. And so that affected him to hate the Jedis. But that's a good reason to hate someone when you see these men and women taking children away.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a matter of perspective. So right. I So I started reading that, and that's why I actually do more Sith characters than I've done. I don't think I've done a Jedi character at all, other than my own character, which I've created, and it's part of the book that I'm writing. But yeah, so I mean, I'm rambling, but it's just an amazing, it's a good escape, and it's a wonderful, wonderful time to be a Star Wars fan. Right now, I just saw the last show that Disney just put out, Andor, and what's good about it is there's no Sith, there's no Jedi, but it's just an incredible story. An incredible story, and I'm in love with it. So right now is the best time to be a Star Wars fan because we're getting so much content now. It's just incredible.
Going back to your original inspiration of Wizard of Oz, have you ever done any of those characters, and do you think you will too?
It's funny, I thought about doing the Tin Man at one point, but again, I don't have the talent.
No, don't say that. You definitely have the talent for sure.
Well, as
100% you
far
have
as
the
to
talent.
create the costumes, which by the way, yeah, you can always get you there are people on Etsy and different
Right.
that you give them a you know you give them a an idea and they will create it for you. It's just whether or not you have the means for it. But to me, it takes away. I want to create, so that's where my Mr. Freeze comes from. I want to do a tech Mr. Freeze, and I said, well, I don't have any of that stuff. And someone gave me the idea of making it my own, and I made it my own, and it's just a silver jacket, makeup, and boom, and that's my Mr. Freeze.
Yeah.
So a very good example of you don't have to have all of this stuff to cosplay.
Yeah.
All you need to cosplay is the heart, the wonder
Imagination and a little bit of makeup.
of wanting to pretend and
Yeah.
play. That's what it is. The ability to pretend and play,
Yeah.
even as big as children as we are, because we're still
That's
children.
true. That's true. You know what would be cool if you did like a half and half, or was it like you did a half Tin Man, half face Tin Man, half face
That would be interesting.
the lion. That would be kind of cool.
That
That
would
would
be
be
interesting.
cool.
But yeah, you also have to see whether or not other people would appreciate it as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a good idea. That's a good idea. I am working on my next character. All I can say is that I've played villains.
Yes.
All of my characters are villains. My new character will not be a villain.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So
Interesting.
I'm working on that next one,
Do you think
yes.
that's going to change the dynamics of your live when you go live with that character? Because,
We'll see. I don't know yet. I received
yeah.
the first piece. I'm not happy with it, so I've got to do a little bit of fixing. I was going to order the rest of the costume, but with things coming, I decided to hold back, and we'll see what happens. But yes. And also, we had a little bit of a setback with my main forum, TikTok, where sadly I was about to leave the app. I was kept getting violated on my videos. My videos kept getting violations for no reason. You would appeal them. They would immediately give
Restore.
the win of the appeal. They would take away the violation, but they still will leave me with my violation as far as, not being able to do anything for a couple of weeks. So that left a very bad taste in my mouth, or in my heart, just like I said in one of my videos. And it took me to a dark place, a
Yeah.
dark place that I was not in a long, long time. And I decided I don't need this to do this to me.
Yeah.
But
And we should note that it wasn't due to any graphic content in your videos. It was just a particular person who was
right,
trolling and reported your videos, and yeah.
I'm going to be devil's advocate. I would rather, especially, anything on the internet. I would rather any app, any site, to be extremely careful than very, you know, than not. Mm-hmm. So I could understand, you know, this app wanting to be as careful as it is and immediately violate something, even though there may not be a violation. So I'm not faulting that. Can they fix it? Yes. But it does something to your psyche.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
well, and it's also run by AI. It's not a real person doing that. So that's therein lies the problem there too. So
when we first, I mean, I know you've been in TikTok probably around the same time we did.
Yeah.
They actually had physical people that you would say would, you know, mm-hmm. now I'm sure it's all automated in AI. You're correct.
Mm-hmm.
And
it's owned by China now too. So that's different too.
Yeah, that too, you know, that, and of course there was politics involved with that, but
yeah,
listen, it has changed my life to an extent that I just, it's made my life brighter. It's opened the world to me. I've met you. I've met so many people on here that I would have never met mm-hmm. under any other circumstance.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, it's been life-changing. Like you said, I started my Half Joy message. I remember the day when I put that hashtag in and it says add on it. and I said, okay, we're going to add. And I know the numbers are off because I know it has to be more than that, but we're at already 5.5 million views on that.
Wow. Incredible.
So, so with that, when I posted that farewell video, because I was leaving TikTok, I received so many messages.
Mm-hmm.
So many messages supporting me, but mm-hmm. at the same time asking me, please don't go.
Yeah.
And then this one message came about, and it was a dad and apparently his daughter. And he said, please don't go. You saw me through my worst, got me through my worst for me and my daughter.
Mm.
And when I read that, I said, okay, let me just get off this pity train I'm on. And so I decided to come back. I kind of started getting my energy back. And it made me think about the first time I took my Joker out in person, in public.
Mm-hmm.
And I played the Joker. I was at a New Hampshire Comic-Con last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I had this young girl following me everywhere I went. One thing, and you know how I am, one thing about me is whoever I interact with, I'm very careful. Even on, especially on TikTok or even on IG, I will reach out and say, okay, you know, just let me know if anything's inappropriate. That is my biggest fear. Don't ever want to come off as a creep or anything like that.
Yeah.
So I remember we stopped to do a live. So we were static. We were stationary. And the little girl just kept looking at me. So her mom was right beside her. And of course, I looked at her and says, can I kneel down to her, talk to her? And I kneeled down and talked to her. Claire, she's a TikTok as well. She took this picture that will forever stay in my heart and in my mind. That little girl was so sassy. Her favorite character was Harley Quinn. So mm-hmm. she wanted to be Harley Quinn. So me being the Joker allowed her to be.
I love it.
It was awesome. And they left. I kept doing the live, and people were obviously looking at me. Mm-hmm. And then when I was done with the live, the lady comes up and she says, "Thank you so much for that."
Aww, and so cool.
That part about it, well, not the sad part, but what she doesn't know is that touched me more than it probably
was meaningful to you. Yeah.
So
I love.
So
that.
It made me think about that, and you know, in our lives, you never really know who you will affect.
Yeah, or inspire. You inspire.
I don't want to give myself. I don't want to sound. Yeah, I.
No, but it's true though. It's true though. You inspire a lot of people, and I think that it's a, you know, it's evident in the messages that you've received. So
it is. It, like I said, just the messages alone, it's just been incredible, and that has fueled. It has reignited my sense of wonderment that I thought I lost.
Yeah.
You know, I'll just continue to do this, even to my grandkids. You know, I'm going to get mm-hmm. to see them in a few weeks, and they tell me, yeah, Papa, I told all the kids at school that, you know, Joker's my granddad, you know, and it's funny, and it made me think of this. I was doing one of my costumes, one of my characters, and something dawned on me. You know, my dad was a musician. I wish he was a musician, or I wish the technology that we have today was available, you know, when he was alive.
Right.
What I wouldn't do to see him or hear him play again. You know, I'm sure there are recordings out there somewhere that people physically have, but I have no access to his recording. My dad was a wonderful musician. He played professionally for many years mm-hmm. with many, many big names.
Mm-hmm.
And I found myself, and I did a TikTok about it. It says, you know, when I don't have very much longer on this earth, you know, but when I'm gone, my children and my grandchildren will, heck, even hopefully my great grandchildren will still get to see their papa running around crazy with makeup.
I love that. Creating memories, moments and memories for a lifetime.
Else, you know, I and it's just, yeah. And even, you know, one of, from my ex-wife, we were married for almost 30 years. I remember her, we actually had a Thanksgiving dinner together, you know, after everything.
Yep.
And she saw a change in me. She that she would never not, you know, ever thought she would ever see from me. So it definitely has changed my life.
It's given you a confidence, I think, too, an inspiration to yourself.
Yes. Yeah. Humility is the best teacher. So yes, you know, you always want to be humble about the things you receive, the things that you have, and the things that you put out.
Yeah.
Absolutely. My biggest thing is receiving compliments. I have to work on that. Somebody gives me a compliment and I'll give you a negative about me to counteract that. I've stopped doing that because I realize that that's not good. You're actually negating what this person is feeling about you. Yeah. So that's not, it's not fair to them. So I learned to kind of quell that a little bit. I just try to be very careful. I still get a little uncomfortable when people talk about me, like you're talking about me the way you did. And I appreciate it from the bottom of my heart. It only makes me want to be a better person, you know, because even at my most selfish part of me wanting mm-hmm. that, you know, I want to give back even more when I hear stuff like that. So,
well, speaking about giving back too, you've now started, well, you've been doing it for a little bit, a couple of years, but you've started writing now.
I started writing, yes.
So talk a little bit, we have a few more minutes here and I want to touch on that before we end the show, but talk about your writing a little bit because Star Wars and that kind of thing hasn't typically been my genre of stuff that mm-hmm. interests me, but you were so generous enough to send me just a little sneak peek snippet of a part of a chapter that you had written. Mm-hmm. And I was blown away. Smoke up your butt. I was blown away. I was kind of upset that it was so short. I wanted to read the rest of it.
I think I already sent you four chapters.
Yeah, I can't wait.
I'm up to chapter 13, so I've got to send you the four.
I can't wait. I will tell you now, I will be the first in line to buy your book when it comes out. It is phenomenal. Phenomenal. Well,
it's a difficult genre. there's a lot of licensing things.
Yes.
However, there's a lot of, from what my daughter said, no, Dad, you can still publish it. There's a lot of, yeah. So anyway, but I'm going to tell you a quick story about that. I sent you that, right?
Yeah.
And I didn't hear back from you. And I'm like, and you got back to me when I was in a plane. I was on a plane about to take off.
I remember that.
And you were kind of keeping me in suspense. I'm like, okay, tell me, come on. Like,
I think I sent you a message and I said, can I be honest with you?
Yeah.
And then you were shitting your pants.
Yeah. So yeah, I'll never forget that. And you know, that inspired me a bit.
Yeah.
Changing careers and that kind of quelled me the writing, but yeah, I did start writing again. And so what I decided to do was to interact, to make, bring those characters to life. Mm-hmm. And cosplay allowed me to bring my character that I had in my head for 20 years, some odd, to life.
Wow, incredible.
And in everything that I've read through Star Wars or in Star Wars and all the movies that I've seen, I look for this particular thing that I want the scenario to happen,
mm-hmm.
and it hasn't happened yet. So that's where I'm going with this particular story. And of course, perception is everything. So when people see my character, you know, when you look at a character, you look at his dark colors and his red colors, and you know Star Wars right away, you kind of take that with something bad. Then you see the character, you know, with the white Jedi and the, you know, and you automatically think this person is good,
mm-hmm.
you know. But yet we haven't seen anything to what I'm alluding to in my story, which down the line I will tell you the secret of it. But
and
you know,
the name of that, we can say the name of that character, right? Because you put that
on. Yes, it's so my own character. We have Jedi Anel, Anel.
Uh-huh.
And then we do have a Malavis Rakan. Malavis Rakan is a Sith.
Mm.
He is a Sabrak, and if anybody's seen any of the movies, they would cut. In fact, they come into my life as my Darth Maul. He is from that species, but that's what I want. I want people to see and identify this particular character with something
right.
menacing, right?
Right.
So that's where we're going with that. Yes,
love it.
And of course the opposite with the other character. So, yeah.
And you have quite the eclectic collection. It's insane. Yeah. And I wonder, is it possible? I don't know how you're set up, but is it possible for you to take us over to your collection and show us maybe a few of your favorite pieces?
Sure.
Because for those of you who haven't seen Anel on TikTok or any of his videos or any of his content, you often see his collection in the background, and it is just, it's outstanding. It's like every collector's dream. Tons of memorabilia, tons of stuff.
I can bring you with me.
Yeah, well, that would be great. You have a little bit over there.
Yeah, you see my Star Wars. So I am a big DC and Batman collector.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. The Flash.
Okay. I even have a pretty large size Batmobile there.
Easy now. Yep.
All right. So, but now we go to the creme de la creme.
And the way you have the lighting and everything set up too is just, it's a whole vibe. It's a whole vibe. The way you've displayed your collection.
And we'll kind of, I don't know if I'm.
Do you want me to pause it?
If you can.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so we're now in your den of memorabilia.
Yep. In fact, you know, it's funny because I don't know if the sign will come up properly, but see, I have a danger. Touching collection may cause serious injury or death. But yeah.
I love it.
No, somebody sent me that and it was pretty cool. but yeah, this is, trust me, there are collectors that have even, yeah, but...
But you have a great collection. There's tons of Star Wars there on top.
There's tons of Star Wars. Everything, yeah, everything here is Star Wars.
And that's Princess Leia in the background, right? That's
this one here.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is actually, I told you about my nephew, Craig Franco. He's actually been published in a Star Wars book.
Oh,
in the
wow.
space book. So yeah, that's his art.
Oh, wow.
But this was my very first piece that I bought as an adult.
Uh-huh.
This was, and that started it all. So,
and that's a Luke Skywalker.
That's a Luke Skywalker. My most treasured piece I've received in the last month, and it was by a TikToker. I was blown away by what she sent me, and I'll show you that real quick.
Yeah, it's so nice people send you things.
Yes,
so kind.
Yeah, and when I saw this, I'm like, oh, good, of Boba Fett. But what's special about this particular piece?
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if you can see it. You see a little writing up on top of there?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my gosh. Is it signed?
That is signed by the original Boba Fett.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. That's amazing.
Jimmy Bullock. So.
Wow. And all I sent you is a Chia Pet. I feel like a dick.
But you know what? I will cherish it because, you know, it's just like anything. People say, why don't I sell it? I said, I've given away lightsabers. I've given away first edition. To me, it's special.
Mm.
It's more special. Now, the most coveted piece as a kid that I ever wanted.
Yeah.
And as an adult that I ever wanted was a Millennium Falcon. And I finally found one in the last year. And it's this little puppy right there.
Oh, my gosh. That is incredible. Holy smokes. If you're just, again, if you're just listening to this podcast, please, when you're done listening, please go watch this. Because there's just some things in here that I can't describe to you. It's just, they're phenomenal. Oh, it moves. Baby Yoda. Oh my gosh, that is so freaking cute. That is adorable. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And so it just moves when you touch the head?
Yep.
Awkward.
This one of those things, pretty cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's pretty much it. And I have some other pieces here. My lightsabers.
Oh, those are wicked. Look at those. What? Wow. Those are cool.
Yeah.
Wow.
The I don't want to call it priceless, but the most expensive piece is this piece right here.
That's incredible.
When they created these, they had a lot of issues. Mm. So they only came out for a very short time. So they've become very difficult to find.
Right.
And
what is that we're looking at right now?
It's a BB-8. This is from the new movies.
Okay.
But it's an actual working BB-8. It will roll just like the real BB-8 and everything.
Wow.
But they're so problematic to start. They're cool, but I'm proud to have one of these. Yes.
Absolutely. You know?
But,
oh my gosh.
That's pretty much all of my collectibles that I have. Some people have sent me actual movie reels from Star Wars.
Oh, wow.
That was from a TikTok creator. And then somebody made me this beautiful piece. Yeah, I don't know if there's enough lighting on that, but.
Oh, that's cool.
It's crocheted. It's pretty cool. I've gotten stuff from New Orleans. Even in New Orleans, you'll find Star Wars stuff. I don't know if you can see that.
Right, that's nice. Put the camera down a little bit.
Here, we'll do it this way.
Or pull it. That's so cool.
It's like a heavy gauge metal. Yep, it's pretty cool.
Nice.
Yeah, so that's pretty much everything. And then real quick, I don't know if you saw this yet, but another creator, this blew me away when this creator did this for me out of the blue. And he's a wonderful creator on TikTok. Mm-hmm. His heart is gold.
Oh, that's amazing. So that's a portrait of yourself.
Yeah.
Just hand draw?
It's hand drawn. Yep.
Oh my gosh. Wow.
Yep.
What talent.
Yep.
That's incredible.
Some guy Danny is his name on TikTok.
Some guy Danny. Wow. Yeah. Incredible. Wow.
Yeah, he is. He's
If you had a
wonderful.
chance to meet any one character, who would be on the top of your list?
Oh, darn it. Did it again. Sorry.
That's okay.
Oh, darn it. So, if I were to want to meet any Star Wars character,
No, any character
any character,
at all.
any character. Oh, that's a tough one. That's a
Yeah.
tough one.
Who would be on your top of your list? Or who would
Any.
be at least your top three?
I would definitely would want to meet Yoda. That would be my number one. Only because I have one of his quotes tattooed on my forearm, and the wisdom. Definitely.
Dead or alive?
Yeah, Adam West, yeah, for sure. And overall, number one, and it's not even a character, but I have to say, I'm going to consider him a character, Mr. George Lucas.
Phenomenal.
Now, don't get me wrong. If I've kind of hinted to my daughters, if you get me a cameo from Mark Hamill, I will die a happy man, So, because he's done obviously Star Wars, but he's also Joker.
Yes, okay.
So maybe four people to meet,
Wow, that's
but
incredible.
yeah, but it's just one of those things where it just rekindles your youth. I can't explain it. It's just why, I have people asking, why do you do the things you do? And even my brother, who's a very conservative man, very religious man, he was the one that said, do the Joker on Comic-Con. He was the one that actually egged me on when I decided to go in costume to my first Comic-Con in 2019. I went in as Director Krennic. I remember going to his, he was he's a police officer for Tampa University. So the place, right, the Comic-Con is right nearby. So I went to go see him, and I was gonna change there. And I had second thoughts. I said, no, I'm not gonna do it. He goes, what do you mean you're not gonna do it? He goes, you got the costume. The Comic-Con's right down the road. You're here to do it. And he's been the one that's been kind of, so that encouragement coming from him,
Really sparks your joy.
right.
Yeah,
And
for
then
sure.
we had a conversation about my half joy. I mean, again, he's a very religious person, and he always refers to the Bible and everything. And he told me, one day he goes, I spread my faith my way, but now you're spreading your faith in another way. So
That's
it's kind of
awesome.
cool. Yeah,
That's
it's kind of
awesome.
cool. So yeah,
Well,
lots of things.
you have such you have such a great way of sharing so much about your creativity and your life with so many people. And I know this is going to be hard for you here, but I want to make sure that everybody knows how fabulous and wonderful and kind and generous and loving a person you are. And I want everybody to find you and find your content. So please shout it out where they can find you, all your social medias, all your handles.
My handle is easy because when you hear it, you're gonna laugh. But it's Anel Cucci, all on Facebook, Instagram, and of course TikTok. And it is my name. It's my real name.
It's your real name.
My real name.
I loved it. And one of the moments that will stand out for me too is having to spend time with you, getting to spend time with you when we were both in Florida and we had a wonderful day. We had some lunch, made some TikToks, and
Yeah.
had a wonderful visit. And so hopefully we'll be able to do that again soon too. And
Absolutely.
I'm just so proud of you, my friend. You've come
Wow.
through a lot. You've fought through a lot of adversities and a lot of challenges, and you are still continuing to bring people so much joy through your content, through cosplay, and enjoying yourself too, and having a good time and living life to the fullest.
Absolutely. But yeah, but you know what? I'm feeding off wonderful people like yourselves. That's all it is.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that. And oh, and you also did the production this year. I don't want to leave that out.
Yes, we did two productions. We did the pirate. And then we did the Mardi Gras, and we're doing a new one. Although this time I'm just an extra, but we're doing a 1980s murder mystery.
Oh, I love that. I love that.
We're working on it now for a November show. So we'll see what happens.
Perfect. Yeah. Awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. I've loved having you on, loved chatting with you. I love everything you're doing, and I can't wait to see what the future holds. And I'm excited about your book to come out and lots of bright things in your future. So I'm happy for you. I'm excited for you.
Oh, well, thank you. I appreciate it. Like I said, it's just me being me, just me having fun. That's all it is.
I love it. We love feedback here on the show. So don't forget to comment or send me a DM on your thoughts on your show, The Good, Bad, and the Ugly. We love it all. Don't forget to like, share, comment, and subscribe. Thanks so much for joining us again this weekend. And we'll see you again next week on our new day, which is Tuesday. We're posting every Tuesday now. So see you again next week. Bye.